إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we spoke yesterday about reflecting on the peaks and troughs of our life and looking at, thinking about and looking at, reflecting on what we consider to be the happiest moments, the greatest victories, the greatest successes of our life, and what we consider to be the opposite. May Allah save us from all forms of regret, inshallah. And I reminded myself and you to see, when we reflect on that, to see how many of those are material in nature and how many of those relate to other than material, which is, of course, which is connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and spiritual and so on, but also which is to do with things like courage and compassion and standing up for what is right, standing up to oppression, thinking of more than yourself, thinking also of the community, thinking also of the nation itself, not only the Muslim Ummah but also others. So things like this, I mean, what do you consider to be, and what do I consider to be our greatest successes and failures? Where is most of it? Because if most of it is in the material field, then really, I mean, there is very little to differentiate between a human being and an animal, because if animals could sit and contemplate, that's what they would say. That's what they would do. You know, this is what I hunted, this is what I got, this is how much grass I ate, or whatever it is. But other than that, what is, wallah alam, I mean, I have never been an animal myself, so I can't speak from experience. But I'm saying, the point is that for human beings, we need to have something more than that. Just to say, accumulate, I bought this car, I did this, I built this house. For what? Big deal. I mean, one of the benefits of living in Hyderabad is that it's a city where one can easily take ibrat. One can take a lesson from simply looking around us and looking at our own history and our own historical relics, monuments and otherwise, and see that people who came before us, they had so much that we can't even imagine that. Forget about having it. And yet, one day they left, one day they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive them their sins and give them Jannah, inshallah. And so what's going to happen? Same thing for us. What will remain with us is things other than the material. So we need to reflect and think about that. Now, when you want to think about other than material, also in the same breath, I would say, think about the goals that you have for your children. I think 3-4 days back, I mentioned that in one of the Fajr reminders. What are your goals for your children? Are those goals material, or are those goals, only material, or are those goals also about building character, about building, a person who is noble by character and by the heart, and about building a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are those also part of the goals that you have for your children? And if the answer is yes, inshallah, I hope that's so, that is so, then you need to sit and say, if my goals for my child are spiritual in nature, if they are character building in nature, then what is the methodology that I am adopting, formal, conscious methodology that I am adopting to ensure that my child gets those things? For example, if you say, I want my child to become a doctor, a medical doctor, then there is a way you will go about it. I mean, you won't say, let him study anything he wants. Now your child is studying art or something, or music or whatnot, and you say, it's okay. How can it be okay? You want the child to be a medical doctor. So the child has to pursue a certain curriculum of study so that he qualifies for the medical college examination. Then he has to sit for the examination, do the examination, and so on until he or she becomes a doctor. So there is a formal line of training and so on. Similarly, if you say, I want my child to become an airline pilot, right? So he won't go to medical school for that. He has to be an airline pilot, so he will eventually, learn, become a pilot, get a pilot's license. But before that, even when the child is a little child, what will you do? You will give the child toys, planes as toys, you will involve him in aeromodeling, you will involve him in drones, and you know, all the things that he plays with are things which are related to airlines. Take two examples I'll give you. Andre Agassi, the famous tennis player, is supposed to have had the strongest serve of any tennis player in history till today. Right now, I think he's even retired. But strongest serve of any tennis player in history. How did that happen? Because when Andre Agassi was 5 years old or 4 years old, his father gave him a tennis racket in his hand. And his father, at that age, he created, and his they came from a very middle class kind of background, so his father was not a wealthy man. But his father wanted his son to be a Wimbledon champion. Now believe me, when Andre Agassi was 4 years old, he did not know what is Wimbledon. So you can't say it is his goal. It is not his goal, it is father's goal, right? So the father created a tennis court in their house, a professional proper tennis court. And then he went looking for a ball serving machine, you know, it shoots out balls, tennis balls, at a high speed. He wanted a machine which could shoot out a ball at 100 kilometers an hour, at that speed, right? Now, there was no such machine in the market. So, Andre Agassi's father built a machine which could shoot out balls at 100 kilometers an hour. He created a machine, and from the time his son was 5 years old, take a standard tennis racket and put it next to a 5 year old or a 4 year old kid, and you will find that the racket is almost as big as the child. Right? So, obviously, he was not using an adult racket at that time, but he was using a racket. From 5 years old, that boy used to hit something like a million balls a year. That's all he did. He hit balls across the net, shooting, responding to the ball flying machine. And as they say, the rest is history. The man won Wimbledon, he won everything on the face of the earth. And till today, he has the strongest serve in the market. Why? Not because it was his goal. It was his father's goal, and the father invested time, money and energy behind it from the time the boy was a little boy. Another one is Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods' father gave him a golf club when Tiger Woods was shorter than a golf club. Right? And he wanted his son to become a champion, world-class golfer, world champion. And as they say, the rest is history. Tiger Woods became a world-class champion. Now, the issue, therefore, is if I want my child, if you want your child to become people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become among the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be people who are oriented towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people who have leadership skills and ability to lead the world, inshallah, at some point in time, yeah, who have courage, who have compassion, who have courage and compassion are the two critical ones, right? Who understand strategic thinking, who understand structured thinking, all of this. I mean, I can make a long list, but that's not necessary. If you want all this, if I want all this, then my question is, what is the game plan? When do you start? What is the track that you want, that you have chosen? What is in your life showing that this is what I plan for my child, and therefore my child will do this. He will eat this kind of food, he will go to this kind of place, he will play with such kind of friends, he will have such kind of experiences in life, I will give him these kinds of toys, he will read these kinds of books. If you do not have that plan, believe me, it is not going to happen. Take my word for it, keep this recording until you die, it will not happen. Unless you actually sit and plan, and unless you implement that plan, it will not happen. You can have all the wishes in the world. I mean, all parents wish the best for their children. There is no doubt about that. But those wishes, it's like saying, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. That's the only way you will ride, because if the wish become a horse. Otherwise, there is no way that is going to happen. Think about the memories that you give your children. I keep on saying, I've said this a million times, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive my father and fill his qabr with noor. My memory of my father is he never missed tahajjud. Ask yourself what memory you want to give your child. So somebody says to your child, oh, Sheikh Yaver's father never missed tahajjud. He says, oh, mashallah, very good. My father never prayed fajr. Yeah? This is what your child is going to say. Believe me, this is what your child is going to say. So-and-so's father never missed tahajjud, but my father never prayed fajr. This is what your child is. If that is the memory you're giving your child, this is what he's going to say. The point is that I've written a book on raising children, raising a Muslim child. I speak all over the world on raising children. And the thing which I say is, if you want to raise good children, look at yourself. If you want to raise good children, look at yourself. There is no way Musa can be born in the house of Firaun, but that is a Nabi, and that is min Allah Ta'ala. Normally, there is no Musa in the house of Firaun. Simple as that. And even there, one can say that Musa alayhi salam's mother was a pious woman, so Musa alayhi salam was not really raised by Firaun, but raised by his mother in her house. And even in the house of Firaun, the wife of Firaun was a pious lady. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned her in the Quran. So, there is some link to say that if parents think that they need not do anything, and somehow their children are going to become awliya Allah and they are going to become global leaders, then I have to ask those parents, tell me, what are you smoking? Let me also enjoy that with you. because really, you are not sane. I mean, you are saying this in some kind of nasha, you know. After whacking a couple of joints, then you say, oh, I want my child to be this global leader. Oh, mashallah, very nice. Look at yourself, go look in the mirror, then you understand who is a global leader. No, really, seriously, we have to look at ourselves and say, today, if we complain about the world, I mean, many people, there's a standard, oh, dunya itni kharab hai, society itni kharab hai, wo hai ye. I mean, ke do bache, Mustafa aur Suleiman. Wo society jo kharab hai na, wo kisi ki galti hai, wo Suleiman ki galti hai, Mustafa ki galti. No, seriously, ask him, mashallah, may Allah bless him and his children, mashallah. Whose fault is it? Is it that little Mustafa or Suleiman? Let us, you know, catch those two. One of those two has ruined society. Whose fault is it? I mean, if society is bad, it is the fault of the adults. Children are not doing anything. The poor things, they are helpless. So how come we only look at children? We have to bachchon ki tarbiyat karna. Bachchon se pehle aapki tarbiyat karna hai. Bachchon ki tarbiyat is fine. Children tarbiyat is fine. But what about the adults? Unless we as adults, I am now in the grandparents' Zumbra. So unless we as adults straighten ourselves out, nothing can be done to the children. Illa mashallah, nothing can be done to the children. So very important for us, what are our goals for our children? And then what is the track that you have chosen? What is the curriculum? Have you given that some thought? Are you preparing for it? Are you doing something about it? That is a question to ask ourselves. So what are the peaks and troughs in my life? What memories do I want to give to my children? And what is my track to achieve that goal? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us and to be pleased with all of you and to give you children who will be truly a means of sadaqatul jariyah for you when you have gone. Usually in all my parenting workshops and lectures, I usually begin with one question. My question I ask people is, how many of you prayed for your parents in tahajjud today? How many of you prayed for your parents in tahajjud today? And usually only about 3 or 4 people will put up their hands. And then I ask them another question. I say, how many of you prayed for your grandparents in tahajjud today? Now my point is that's just one generation, no? I'm not saying, did you pray for the original ancestor from which your nasal has started? No. Saying your grandpa, your nana, your dada, your dadi, your nani. How many people prayed for your grandparents? And how many people prayed for your parents in tahajjud today? Because the key problem is you don't even wake up for tahajjud. How will you pray for anybody? So if you are not praying for your parents and if you are not praying for your grandparents, why do you imagine that your children are going to pray for you? Simple, right? Why will they will also be sleeping. Wo aap jo kar rahe ho wahi karta hai, wahi sikha, uske kya aur kya sikhega. So seriously, if you really want children to be sadaqatul jariyah for you, become sadaqatul jariyah for your parents and for your grandparents. I think on the day of judgment, all these parents and grandparents are going to come and say thank you to me for making, I don't know how many people in the world aware that they should pray for, make dua for their parents and grandparents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them irrespective of whether their children make dua for them or not. But seriously, I mean, this is something we have to ask. We have to ask ourselves, you know, what kind of child am I that I am not doing this for my own parents and my grandparents, and therefore what kind of children will I have? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open our eyes before they are open for us, and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased, and to help us inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.